This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's podcast is brought to you by the Great American Magic Company.com, an online magic store where you should go to purchase your products. Whether it's a physical product or an automatic download, be sure and check out thegreatamericanmagiccompany.com. And speaking of shopping, you can help support the MagicWordPodcast.com by making your Amazon.com purchases through the link that is provided here on the podcast. If you'll go to our blog at themagicwordpodcast.com and go over to the Amazon affiliate store, there'll be a link there where you can click and then you will go directly to your Amazon account. If you have a Premier account, or even if you don't, you can still purchase and your account will open automatically if you're already signed in. And any purchase that you make, a contribution is made by Amazon to the Magic Word Podcast. And we thank you very much for that. And for that matter, if you're wanting to make an additional donation of any type or of any size from $1 on up, whether it's going to be a one-time donation or if it's going to be an ongoing monthly pledge, then please join the Friends of the Magic Word. There again at the blog at themagicwordpodcast.com, there's a place where you can become a friend of the Magic Word. And you can learn all about how that you can help support us and keep this podcast free for the world to enjoy. And be sure to follow us on facebook.com/themagicwordpodcast and on Twitter at magicwordpod and Instagram at scottwellsmagic. There are different ways that you can keep up with us and share the magic. And for that matter, you can spread the word if you just help to tell others about the Magic Word Podcast. And be sure to subscribe on not only your iTunes. If you are an Android user, there's a way of doing that as well. If you go over again to the magicwordpodcast.com website, there is a place there where you can subscribe, and you can do that very easily and never miss another podcast. This week's podcast is with a good friend of mine, David Hira, whom some of you may know, but most of you probably don't. He had recently done a lecture on Penguin and was quite successful, was well-received, has a bunch of really great reviews, and he'll talk about that in this podcast then as well. But also, to the point, one of the reasons that he had done this is because that he wanted just to leave this as a legacy. He is going to be making an announcement towards the end of this podcast. And so he had given a little bit of a tease in his social media saying that he was announcing something and you need to listen to this. And so I'm going to leave it there as well as kind of being a tease. Now, the reason, again, that I wanted to talk with David is not only because of his upcoming announcement and what he plans to do, but also that he is someone who has a very good lecture. Yes, I recommend that you do take a listen to and watch. Go over to the Penguin, take a and download his lecture. But he is very good at connecting with the audience. He is always upbeat, very positive, great guy to be around. A lot of magicians are. Most of us are that way. We enjoy each other's company. This is a fellow who you genuinely like to be around because he genuinely enjoys you as well. And I entitled this podcast Connecting with David Hira because that's exactly what he does with his audience. There is a special way that he explains during his lecture about how that you can connect with your audience, specifically not necessarily going out and shaking hands with everybody in the audience, but kind of like, you know, how to let them feel your personality come off the stage. In other words, he talks about breaking that fourth wall. And that's the crux of what he does in his performances and then again as a keynote speaker. But he has been very successful doing hundreds of shows a year over the last several years. I, again, have known him since, golly, I guess 1980s, sometime back in the 1980s. Longtime friends, gosh, when he was with Sharp Electronics, that's what it was, before that they had sold out and everything. But anyhow, he'd gone through different jobs before settling and being a full-time magician and keynote speaker, and a very successful one at that. And anyhow, he's one of these guys who has flown beneath the radar, and I know sometimes I introduce you, the listener, to people who you may not have otherwise known or known about, but you always learn something, and you certainly will with this podcast that we have here today that features David Hira on connecting with your audience here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you a great friend of mine and probably of yours. Many of you have met him, you've seen him. He's on the social media every place, and we're going to talk about some of that also. And if you haven't seen him on social media, then you should add him as a friend on about anything that you've got. I don't care what kind of platform it is. In fact, I think he has a brand new platform that he's introducing. He'll tell you about in just a minute. So please welcome Mr. David Hira.
Hey, I'm here right here with you, Scott.
What hey, there's thrill. No music. I feel like I'm, hey, did it? Here, I'm David
Hira. Yeah, you know, I can't even do a card trick without having my music behind me and all that stuff. Yeah. It's just part of who I am. So. Hey, it's good to be with you. Thanks.
Well, you feel like you're probably a different person when you come on stage with music. I mean, that's, you know, I always tell people also
it is a trigger. Music. You know, the red jacket, my branded red jacket, it's my cape.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still the same guy, only more so, you
sure,
know?
Sure.
And so, and that, you know, you saw last night in the lecture that when I had the wrong music, because we just didn't have the time to set it up.
Had the wrong rhythm or something.
Yeah. I mean, I just came out and it was like, hey, everybody. But then when it's my theme song, boom, I turn into the personality of David Hira.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just those triggers.
That Mr. Showbiz.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You have to be.
Well, and that's what people are paying for. They're not paying for somebody coming, hey, I'm going to show you a few tricks tonight. You know, because especially if you get a bad introduction, if somebody comes out and says, here's a trick guy, you know, he's going to.
Yeah, he's going to show you some of his little tricks. Some of his little tricks. Because they don't know what else to say.
Yeah, you're going to wish your children were here tonight. You know? Don't you hate
great.
That?
Great.
That's one of the things that what do you do when someone says to you, and so you've been at a table and you're doing some close up or cocktail or something, and it's obviously an adult executive thing, and they say, oh, my kids love magic.
I said, absolutely, and that's why adults love magic, is it brings out the kid in all of us again. And isn't that fun?
Yeah.
That's the answer.
So you don't try to top them and show them something that would...
No. And it's very much like, if I can bring this up too, it's like, it just bugs the fire out of me when someone says, ugh, you know, I was doing a magic show last night, and what does this lady say the first thing that she comes up afterwards? Oh, I was in Las Vegas, and I saw a magic show. It's like, really, lady? Did you just see me? Did you just see what I just did?
Yeah.
And I want to chastise, and I'll say this friendly to all of our magician friends out there. Do you understand what she's really doing? She wanted to connect with you after the show. She wants to talk to you. And the only thing that she can think of that you both have in common is a magic show.
Right.
So for her to break the ice with you, she's only coming up with the only thing that she can think of at the moment. Mm-hmm. I saw a magic show in Las Vegas and I loved it too. And for us to say, oh, really? Did you see me? No, what we want to say is, isn't magic wonderful? And I am so pleased that you thought enough of that to come see me. Did you enjoy the show tonight? She's just trying to connect.
That's a great answer to that, certainly, because I find that a lot of times people will want to connect with you just to say, and they don't really know what to say. In other words, that if they say, and you're in a conversation and you're not doing magic and you just happen to be at a cocktail party or someone's birthday party and they don't know you or a wedding, whatever. And it's, what do you do? Well, you say you're a magician. Oh, really? You know, that's, you know, I love magic or I saw or whatever. They don't, it's like, you know, if you say you're an athlete of whatever type, they want to talk about that because they can talk about sports or whatever it is. That sure. Seems to be the most unusual. Even if you're a musician, oh, really? What kind of music do you like? And oh, I like, you know, so and so in the same genre.
Well, you're just trying to find something in common.
But in magic, you don't. And that's why in my lecture, what I talk about is from the very get go, the importance of not saying that you're a magician right off. In other words, when someone says, what do you do? So, well, I help inspire people and let them feel good about themselves, or that I help companies improve their profits. Well, how do you go about that? You
know, yeah, and not long ago on my Facebook page, I put a post about this very thing, that I was at this event, and the person that was about to get up there was coming by saying, oh, hi, what's your name? You know, what do you do? And when they got to me, they said, what do you do? I said, I love my family, raise my kids, love God with all my heart and being, and do everything I can to take care of them. And there's like, he didn't know where to go from there.
Yeah.
But that's what I do.
Sure, of course. But that's the bottom line. That's the important answer.
Yeah, I mean, that is what I do.
Yeah.
You mean as a career to support all of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's a different
question. Oh, is that your question? Yeah, completely different.
But that also puts them in a different, I want to talk to this guy.
That's exactly
and
right.
So, yeah, and so your point, back to your point, is in the sales game or the networking game or just even in the social game, I just don't want to be like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I want to have a real deep conversation with someone. And that will spring that deep conversation.
There's a comedian, Aziz Ansari, or something, I can't I can picture him, but I can't say his name. I saw him being interviewed a while back, and he said when he stopped in New York and people want to take a picture or whatever, he says, no, I don't want to take a picture, but let's spend some time talking. I want you to know me, and I want to know you.
Right.
And because, yeah.
Well, it's like I saw on some show one time, they were passing, and someone said, oh, how are you? And he looked at her and said, do you really care to know, or are you just making idle chit-chat?
That's what I feel about every person that comes on stage and says, how you doing tonight? I always say, well, I'm glad you ask. Actually, you see that, and by that time, everybody's been yelling. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm. Who cares? And I think that that is the most idle piece of information, and it shows that you're shallow and unprofessional if you come out and say,
hello,
hey,
Denver!
How you doing tonight?
Right.
That, because that's something you say to an individual and not to a massive group. I don't care, even if you're walking up to a table, if you're walking up to a table and there are 12 people or 6 people, and you say, how you doing tonight? Only do that if you're actually looking at somebody and you want to know, and then you go to the next person, how are you doing? And tell me, how was your day? By that time,
yeah,
it's too,
but on the other hand, and I haven't really thought this through exactly, but on the other hand, you're trying to immediately get the audience to elicit a group response.
There are other ways of doing that.
And there are other ways of doing it, but I'm just saying that to their benefit, what they're trying to do is train their audience really up
to yell.
To yell up front. You know, one of my favorite guys is Chip Romero, and I still remember 20 years ago learning from Chip that audiences need to be trained. Mm-hmm. If you want a response, you have to train them and expect them and tell them you're going to expect that.
Right.
And if you're not getting the response you want, you stop the show. I mean, I've watched Chip do it. Stop the show. Oh, come on, everybody. I know you want to applaud, and I want you to know it's okay, and I love it when you do. So come on, let's hear it. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
You know, why not? Because especially today, I think that audiences are more awkward than ever.
Yeah.
Because they're enjoying things through a device more than ever.
That's true.
So they're not first person enjoying something. They're enjoying it through something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of that too. If you see all the pictures of my kids growing up, if you see all the video, I was one of the few people back when my kids were little that actually had a video camera. No one had
I
did.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but when I look at all those things, I'm not in any of the shots. I enjoyed my kids growing up through a 3-inch viewfinder, and mm-hmm. I think it's just because I'm half Japanese. No, it's because, but I look back and I say what a shame, shame I did that.
Yeah, because you weren't part of it, because you were growing up with them also, but on the other side of the land.
I was there. I was with them, mm-hmm. sort of.
Yeah.
And I think we have the same phenomenon now with, you know, our iPhones and Androids and all those. We're communicating through things. And because of that, even kids don't know how to respond. Kid performers are telling me more and more, who wants to help the magician? 3 hands in an entire school crowd are going up.
No kidding.
Yeah, because
they're not used to that interactivity. They were used to watching television. They don't expect
to
see the person come off the
stage.
They're
to watch someone else do that because they've never had the experience.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
And I don't think that in most cases the kid performers are training and teaching kids how to be an audience. I think it's an important part because the parents aren't teaching it by and large.
Yeah.
And so on and so on. So, yeah.
Well, there again, you were talking about training the audience, and I see, again, like on television, where they're training people all the time that how you doing. They see that on television. They see these rock stars, and even on Good Morning America talk shows or whatever, they get them frothed up, and of course, they have a person beforehand mm-hmm. that gets them doing mm-hmm. that. But when you see them on television, they say, how you doing tonight? They're already there. And so by doing that, when people walk out on stage in a live performance, they know how they should react because they have seen that type of reaction. Oh, I'm supposed to do this kind of a thing. Now, let me go further. There was something that you taught me many years ago and I think is fantastic, and that's something that you train the audience has already been trained, same kind of thing you've seen on television by being in church, to stand up whenever you have
right.
You know, they talk about the typical audience applause cue when your
right.
arms are outstretched, and then you will kind of use your fingers to kind of
I do a little dip. I do the finger dip. So my hands are outstretched. This is at the end of my show. If I've done a great show, and by the way, I did.
And you can tell.
And I come out and I design the show so that I increase my chances of a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I like to tell people I have a 98% standing ovation rate. I do this year. I did last year. And last year I had a 97% standing ovation rate. I create a show that's going to have highs and lows and ins and outs and tension and release, all those things I talk about. But at the end, there's that moment that tugs at their heart, does whatever it's supposed to do, and then that big payoff. And I slap my hands together once, put my hands out, which is a subliminal, now it's time to clap.
Odd.
I put my hands out in applause you. I walk two steps forward. I don't bow, but I dip
from your
with my chest out, my heart out. And as they're clapping, I look up at them, and then I just do a little dip with my fingers. My hands are outstretched, and I just do this little dip up with my fingers. And people listening, what I'm speaking about is what your choir director did, what your band director did, what anyone in church did to signal, please rise.
Please rise.
Mm-hmm. Please rise. And when I just do that just gently, that Pavlovian response happens, and people don't even know why they're standing. They're just Pavlovian, and they're standing. And so, by the way, send me $20, every one of you listening, for that, because that's, I'm telling you.
He's not shared that with anybody.
It's all of these little things that you do to create the response you want.
Right.
You don't just go do a show and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. You create the ending that you want. You create what you want people to say. You decide in the before I design a show, what do I want them to say all the way home? Oh my gosh, that was the most mysterious thing I've ever seen. Or that was the funniest guy I'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. Or how in the world could he do those things? I have to start there. And once I know what I want them to be saying, and do I want the standing ovation, or do I want them to be speechless? In my keynote talks that I give, and about a third of them, I want them to be so stunned that they can't even applaud. Now, that's a dangerous thing, because if there's not applause, then the event planner doesn't think that you were any good.
Yeah.
So when I set up that last thing, I say, by the way, what's about to happen is so stunning. I'm just saying, it's so stunning. If everything goes perfectly, and I think it will, with your help, I believe it will, that you are not going to be able to speak. You're not going to be able to even applaud. And so when I walk off the stage and you're not applauding, I want you to know it's going to be just fine. It's what I expect.
Yeah.
Because if you hit that moment of disbelief where they just like, oh, what? They can't. You know, you heard the old line, some people are so stunned that they forgot to applaud.
Right, right.
In this case, it will be true if that's the response I want.
But there's a lot to that, because I've heard the magicians say, and I've tried this and it works, and that is to tell the audience what emotion you want them to elicit. In other words, that whenever I'm working in a restaurant or even on stage or whenever, to say, when you go home tomorrow, you're going to say, Scott Wells was the most did amazing trick last night that I'm going to show you right now.
Yeah.
And the word the amazing, use your name. And so that way they later say, that was amazing. Because the funny thing is that as soon as you're finished, that was amazing. If you say, you're going to see the most fantastic trick afterwards, that was fantastic. It's like you're planting this subliminal message that they will just regurgitate back to you.
And as a magician, and as you know, half my business is as a motivational speaker,
right,
using some magic. But the point in it is that I want to be tweetable. And so I want to create that 144 character or less saying that they're going to say or hear over and over and over again. That's going to be just that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to create those little lines that they're going to be memorable lines that they'll repeat tomorrow too. So same kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to design it. You can't have it just happen.
You have to hit the nail on the head. You have to have that as the end product. It's kind of like, well, what do you want people to have? And of course, you have to have some outs in case that the worst case happens. But that there, you create it just like a trick. You have to.
But I am saying, before you design your show and before it happens by accident, what you want to ask yourself is simply this: what do you want people to be saying about you all the way home, after the meeting, or tomorrow? And you have to start with the end in mind. Once you know that, then you can build the show so that that happens.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to build a show and whatever happens, happens. Is that what you want? It's kind of like what people say. If you don't know where you want to go, chances are you're going to get there.
I think that was C.S. Lewis that said that for and Alice in Wonderland. That's what I've always said. Yeah, if you don't know where you want to go, then any direction is fine. But then look where you're going to end up. You're going to end up nowhere.
Wherever.
That's right. At the end of the period of time, that's what I've said before. You know, I ran for and won political office 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and it was for the school board. And because I was thinking, you know, there are things I want to do. I was a scoutmaster. I wanted to give back to the community, you know, work at the church and different things, and thinking, I don't want to look back in my life and say, I wish I could have done as opposed to saying, well, I have done this or that, and go out and do it and try to do that. Even if you can't, had I lost, I would have had the experience of running for office or whatever kind of a thing. And so I just think that it's important that people get up, and particularly in today's society where it's easy to sit with all of the instruments and smart tablets and phones and television and all the technology we have today, it's easy to sit and let someone else do it. But, you know, you've got to get up and do it, you know, and do something, you know.
Yeah, and I was lucky to be raised by my dad and my mom. I mean, I'm just one of those lucky guys. I had the right dad, I had the right mom. Not everyone has had that same benefit, right?
Right.
And so dad always said, you know, you always hear people say, you know, you can only learn from making the mistakes yourself. He said, that's hogwash. You can learn from other people's mistakes if you'll take the time to listen and learn from them.
History.
Ask them about those things.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was able to do all the things I could do, because I built a mentorship of a lot of people that were much older than me. And I find that if you go ask someone successful to help you with something, the chances of them helping you are okay, mm-hmm. but what they're going to share with you is kind of minimal. It's like me. I would never share. Why would I share the things that made me a success in business in this particular market? Mm-hmm. Because I was raised with also the idea of Onassis. Well, I can't think of his first name. Whatever his name, Onassis. And Aristotle.
Aristotle, thank you.
Aristotle Onassis said the secret to succeeding at any business is to know something about the business that no one else knows.
Hmm.
So for me to share those secrets with other people that are going after the same market in my industry would be absolutely crazy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So successful people are going to hold back the real information to some degree. They just
kind of like
are.
A chef would hold back a particular ingredient
one
or recipe.
Ingredient, right. However, by the same token, if you go to people that tried all those things and failed, those are the people that are gold mines to go to, because they're the people that now in retrospect say, you know what I should have done different? You know what I learned from that? What I found out I should have done?
Yeah.
Where I should have been? How I should have done that? And they want to share that. So
because they want to talk about their failures.
Yeah, but saving you 3 years in one conversation, 3 years of trial and error and all the money and time, that's gold to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Along that line, by the way, I recall that some years ago that you had hired someone who had experience that was out of school to be your social media person.
Yes, I did.
And as I recall, that after a period of time, you said you really weren't getting the results out of that, but I'm sure that you learned from that person the skills that you use now. And some of the things, I guess.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I was short-sighted because, you know, social media was really new.
That's true.
And so what I didn't understand is that you know, I thought 6 months was long enough. It wasn't. It was the second year that it all took off.
You just had to keep after it.
Yeah. My Facebook page is my weapon of choice.
Yeah. How many times a day do you post?
Well, I check it, you know, ridiculous amount of time. But my secret is that my assistant now checks it for me and alerts me if I need to
respond
or check something.
Yeah.
Because it's an open Facebook, so people can post onto my Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got to watch that. But I'm big into free speech and and I want interactive things. But you know, Facebook is my television station. I have a free television station. I get to broadcast
to
a particular audience or the world exactly what I want them to hear, know, and see.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little secret about that. We don't have to spend time on it, but I know my audience. I've accumulated a bunch of magicians over the years. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my intent, and I'm glad we're doing this podcast now that I think about it. Because they need to understand that my Facebook page isn't for them. It's for my clients and my fans and my friends.
So you don't have two separate pages. You don't have a fan page.
I don't. I just have the one page. I'm going to have to do something because I'm right at bumping 5,000.
I keep cutting back. I'm like at 4,500 and I have to keep...
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but they forget that they're magicians there. So one of my big rants I did recently, I did a video rant on it on SME Talk Magic.
Yeah.
That's kind of my other favorite. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you guys don't know that, Surplus Magic Exchange on Facebook is a wonderful resource to buy and sell your gently used magic. It's a place to get some good deals or to get rid of some stuff. It's a great platform.
I bought things from you through that.
Yeah, you sure have. And then secondly, their companion one is their forum, which is mostly well-behaved
crowd.
But on SME, I put a whole rant. I said, I had put a picture, you know, I post pictures of my office tonight.
Yeah.
So it's a picture of where I'm performing. I don't, you know, do that every day of every place because some of them aren't really pretty.
Yeah.
But I want them to, I want it to represent places that I want my audience to think about. Where have you been in the same kind of place? Oh my gosh, my cousin puts those things on or whatever.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to connect that. But anyway, I performed with a symphony. And with the symphony, I put a picture of, here's my office tonight. The symphony was all set up. There was my Losander table, and on top of it was a 5-gallon water jug.
Okay.
My Sean Begonia Ultimate, whatever, the latest, greatest.
Yeah, the floating Hank.
Well, it's one that dances
dancing
in the bottle.
Hank, I mean, yeah. That is pretty incredible.
It's really, really incredible. So.
Because the spectator can hold the bottle and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I posted that like I'm ready to go on. And what am I, I'm sorry, my lovingly say, my boneheaded magician friends do? Oh, you've got the Losander Deluxe table? Is that Sean Begonia's ultimate dancing handkerchief? They're posting it on my Facebook page.
Thinking that that is just a magic page and not customers also.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, like we said about the lady that come up after the show, they're just trying to connect with me and say, oh, I'm also learned in magic. I'm connecting with you by saying I have this level of understanding of magic and I recognize those props.
Right.
Yeah. But stop it on my Facebook page because now...
They can go and do a search on that.
They can do a search on that. But the other thing is this. That's not a floating table. It's a table.
That's right.
It's a table.
It does nothing until I touch it.
I'm up here and I'm doing my stuff. If people even notice a table, I've done it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I've done it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, I make this handkerchief float. I can make that thing float. As a matter of fact, I can even cause that table to float. What? I mean, it's not a table that floats.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that makes sense to
it does,
people.
Yeah. It's just
but to call out things by their names on other people's pages is just boneheaded.
In fairness, I would imagine that they're not trying to call you out. Obviously, they're just trying to, in some ways,
show
connect and show their intelligence that I recognize.
Right.
You know, I'm a professional magician too, and so I know what this product is that you have purchased.
So I'm trying to say to all magicians out there, please, please, you know, even in my show, I never call something by its name.
Of course not. You don't say a silk. You don't say this is SpongeBob.
Right. No, I'd like to not show you the invisible deck.
Yeah.
Because you can go to YouTube and you can look it up. And people say, well, it's all about the performance, David. No, it's not. It is about the entertainment value. But if you're a magician, your first responsibility is to fool them. Your first responsibility is to fool them.
You know, you sound like Vernon.
Well, I hope so. But it is your first responsibility. Yeah. And then if you can entertain them as well with something, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But a really good trick... That's a mystery that you can't figure out. Is of itself entertainment.
Well, that was one of the things Banachek had told me before about how he was doing a lot of the college circuit, and when he's performing, let's say like with a PK pen or tip pen or whatever that you want to call it, we call it the psychokinetic pen, and he was saying that people can go out and buy that and do his act, quote, you know, but they're still not him. I mean, I can buy an egg bag, but I'm not Jeff Hobson, you know. And even if you're doing someone's routine, which we can get into the ethics of that, you know, then later too. But he was just saying that I probably made a mistake by putting out a lot of things that I'm actually doing as part of my act, because then people can go and search that also, because people will say, oh, you're doing the PK pen, and then just as you say.
But here's the other issue, and I think I said it at length on my Penguin Live lecture, and I just bring that up too because
Penguin Live, what was this?
As I said to you last night, is that Brent Braun had seen my lecture in Louisville, Kentucky, and he said, "We have got to put this on." We said, "We've never seen a lecture like this before. We never have, and it's something that the magic community is craving. They don't know they're craving it, but they're craving it." And I'm going to give all the props to the crew at Penguin. Their video crew, their audio crew was as good as you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
To capture a lecture, the tricks, the nuances, but then my philosophies and my theories and on magic, to capture my heart, it came right through that screen, and I can't believe it because that's the most impossible thing to do, and I couldn't have been more pleased.
If you die tomorrow, you feel like your legacy has been left behind.
Well, and that was its point. My point was, in all due respect to the lecture I gave here in Houston last night, the whole point of doing the Penguin lecture was to put everything I ever wanted to say, to share with magicians, upcoming and those who are established, on how to not just do tricks, but to really be a magician. What a difference to be a guy that does tricks or to be a magician?
I think the key word that came across last night was, to me, was connect.
Yeah.
Connecting with your audience.
Yeah. So all of that is what we do or should be doing. And so they capture that beautifully. But what I was going to say is, I think I said on there is, it's like if you say anything about a thumb tip, someone says thumb tip on a Facebook page, it's like, hey, take that off.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody knows about thumb tips.
No.
You know, everyone you know knows about thumb tips.
Yeah.
Because who do you hang with?
Yeah.
Magicians.
You got a small group. You need to
The people in your circle are magicians and they know about them. And so you put that out there to think everyone else did. Well, Penn and Teller showed everyone thumb tips. How many years ago was that?
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Yeah, you remember it. How many people ask your next door neighbor?
Yeah. Do I condone that? Is that right? Well, they did. They're professional. You know what? I don't condone it.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I think they were wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just one of the guys that was strong enough to say, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Just because they are popular celebrities.
Is it my opinion? Absolutely. Okay. It's just my opinion. Okay. But my opinion, as you will learn, is always right. No. Ask my kids and my wife.
Yeah.
But the point is, again, the same thing is we go to a magic show and we see the Losander table and we say, ugh, another Losander table. Seen that 100 times.
Yeah.
We have, because we go to magic conventions.
Right.
But everyone in that audience, they've never seen a magician live, more than likely. They've never seen.
Weren't we just talking about that last evening?
Night,
and also,
sure.
Yeah, about how that when most magicians don't appreciate the fact that their audience is seeing magic many times, 90% of the time.
99%
of the time. 99.3% of the time.
Live for the first time in their lives.
Never.
When we share it.
Yeah.
If you were to go into a restaurant and just stop everyone and say, quickly, by show of hands, how many of you have seen a magic show or a magic trick live?
Live.
Out of an entire restaurant, you'll probably get two hands.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember
that.
see magic all the time.
Sure.
People around but you have to understand the general public may have seen it on TV, but even that's a small number.
We need to actually stop and think about that. Because a lot of times we're thinking, okay, and that's why, in fact, I wrote an article about this many years ago on my Scott's Thoughts. It was called Freshness. I think that's important, to being fresh, because, yes, we have seen this, we have done this, but whenever you present this, you should present it in a way in which that it should seem fresh. Whenever I'm on stage, for an example, perfect line was back when you could smoke, and Terry Seabrook's cigarette and jacket routine was popular.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Mine as well. And I did that, and it was started to become a signature routine until the point you couldn't. No one had cigarettes even. You couldn't even borrow cigarettes or whatever. But the point was that there was a line in there in which you'd say, you've always wanted a smoking jacket, you know, and it's kind of as an afterthought. That was a line, you know, because you start smoking and then you notice it and then you just kind of say that. So, and then after, just as everyone is finishing the laugh, you then add, well, pretty soon it'll be a blazer. You know, and it's the delivery of those two lines in making it seem fresh that even though that you have said it, you've memorized it, it's a script, it should be something like the actors on Broadway in Hamilton or anything that you'd want to see, that they are delivering that speech for the very first time to that audience for their first time of hearing it. And so it should be fresh. And so that's why I think that whenever that you're going to be doing something, think about not, hey, just mailing it in and I'd rather be, you know, home watching TV or something else, that, you know, you need to love your audience, which is what you've talked about then before. But it's important then to have that freshness. I was going to share this idea with you too. Whenever I go to a restaurant, one of the first things I do, and not just restaurants when I'm working, but other shows, particularly restaurants, is I walk in, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be here for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, or a cocktail party that I'm going to be performing. As I approach the venue from my car, as I get to the front door, my whole attitude changes and my face changes. I put on a smile. Even if I'm pasting on a smile, I will smile and show my teeth. Nobody looking. If somebody walks by, they might think I'm a weird duck. But I'm smiling and thinking, I'm going to enjoy this audience. I'm going to enjoy this time. And I walk to the door and I have a smile on my face and they look at me, hey, Scotty, how you doing? You know, and they're glad to see me. Rather than walking in, you know, kind of like, oh, I had a bad day or whatever. But I intentionally put a smile on my face.
Yeah, it's part of the costume you put on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makeup is part of a costume you put on. Your brush of your hair is part of the costume you put on. The clothes you put on is part of your costume and your attitude that you put on.
Yeah.
You were kind enough to say that you still have my performing excellence little lecture note. It's a little tiny booklet. And I'm sorry.
Big.
Yeah. And it's a reference that you just look at real quick. I mean, it takes 12 seconds to look at
pages,
it again.
Yeah.
And then you go, boom, 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 yes, yes, yes. And it's all the things that you have to remember before you go in front of your audience. I'll tell people again, I'm plugging the Penguin Live lecture.
And I will too, by the way. I'll say you need to see this, that Penguin has a lot of really great lectures. And as you pointed out, that they know how to produce it. They've got the right guy. Dan Harlan is fantastic. I envy him in many ways, you know, as an interviewer myself. Right. He does a great job. But the people they have are just fantastic. I mean, it's not every Tom, Dick, and Harry that they're going to be having coming through there. So,
and I'm going to tell you, I've already been paid. I don't get another penny for if anyone buys it, but I want you to go, just if nothing else, just go to penguinmagic.com, look up David Hira, H-I-R-A, David Hira lecture, and just read the reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, just, and I'm not tooting my own horn.
Buy it after you read the reviews.
But I want you to understand what this is all about. But I'm also saying, if you go and you buy that lecture, there's also a PDF that comes free. There's two PDFs, I think, that come
free.
Which
includes what?
One of them is my performing excellence, the one that you have, bought, the one that you paid big bucks
for.
It's free when you buy the lecture. So that's a value. And I can't remember what the other thing is I get. Okay. I think it might be my introduction.
Okay, that's good too.
Yeah,
which you forgot to add to the.
Yeah, I did. I forgot to add.
That was the only thing.
Only thing I left out of that lecture was accidental.
Tell people briefly about that. That's important that you have a written introduction that you tell people. Yeah. Funny thing, just this weekend. We'll get right back to our podcast with David Hira. But first, I want to introduce you again over here to Eric Citron, who is the proprietor of the online magic shop, the Great American Magic Company.com. Hi there, Eric.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And things are going well, I guess, with the Great American Magic Company?
Yeah, we're digging out. We had a big snowstorm here on Thursday. We had about 16 inches of snow, but we made sure all the orders went out as soon as we could the following day. So we're trying to keep up with it. But sometimes, you know, weather does become a problem on the East Coast.
Wow. Yeah. Neither rain nor snow nor ice nor storm, I guess, will prevent the Great American Magic Company from delivering their products.
Exactly right. You know, you have a lot of choices out there. Two things we pride ourselves is on customer service. You know, you have a problem with your order, we're going to get right back to you and take care of it any way we can. And we also have a rewards program at the Great American Magic Company. So the more stuff you buy, the more money, the more points you accumulate, which actually equates to free money.
Now, that's different. Yeah. I was going to say that I don't know any other online magic places that have any kind of a reward program. So how does that work?
Well, just for signing up, you get 150 points. For every dollar you spend, you get 20 points. As an example, you buy $100 worth of purchases, it would show up in your account as 2,000 points. And every 1,000 points is a dollar. So if you spend $500, you're going to get yourself $5 to spend. If you write a reward about one of our products, you get 100 points. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you get 100 points. So basically we encourage you have a lot of choices online. Our prices are as competitive as anybody else's because majority of the prices are all regulated. You can't discount online magic for the most part. So what we wanted to do was to add a little bit of an incentive, which is the reward program. So one thing we pride ourselves on is customer service. And the second thing is if you do business with us, we want to reward you.
That sounds fantastic. You know, kind of like, I guess, an airline's reward program with your credit card. For every dollar you spend, you get a mile or something, which may not sound like very much necessarily, but they do add up very quickly. And the more stuff you buy, the more money you're making. And not only that, then you still have the $15 off for any one order over $100.
Exactly. And with the rewards program, there's nothing to remember. It's done automatically on our side. You don't need a card. You don't need a number. Once you sign up with us in an account, it's automatically accrues in your account, and you can see how many reward points you get. And for every item on our site, and we have over 12,000 items, it tells you if you purchase X, you're going to get a certain amount of reward points for it. So it's all done automatically for you. There's really nothing to think about except to reap the rewards.
Are the rewards applied automatically towards your next purchase, or is that something that you can accumulate and then at some point say, I want to buy this thing for free using all my points?
Exactly. When you check out from the site, you'll be asked if you want to use your bonus points. You can use them or you can save them.
Got it. Okay. Well, that sounds very special. So,
yeah, and the other thing I wanted to say is we're really in the market for higher-end used magic. We've gotten a bunch of items in recently, which we were able to flip right away, so to speak. So I'm on any kind of collector's workshop stuff, Owens, you know, Kerry Pollack stuff, Promystic things, any of those kind of things that you're interested in either selling to us directly or on consignment, if you can email me at Eric, E-R-I-C, at thegreatamericanmagiccompany.com, or call us at 1-888-20-MAGIC, M-A-G-I-C. I'd be more than interested in talking to you about it. This week alone, we've turned over probably 6 or 7 different high-end magic products. And, you know, we want to be the place that kind of has a potpourri of different stuff that you can come to.
That sounds great. In fact, that is something that certainly would differentiate you from most online magic shops that just sell the trick that's the newest thing of the week or whatever by having those new and gently used collectible products as well.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you buy something for $1,000, you use it, it's been sitting in your drawer and you don't know what to do with it. Well, we'd be more than interested in talking to you about it. You know, we're looking for stuff that's in very good condition, obviously, with all the instructions. And, you know, we're not looking for run-of-the-mill stuff. We're looking for stuff that, as a working professional, is something that you would want to use in your own act.
Right. Well, that sounds great. Well, Eric, thank you very much. Thanks for the update over there. And everybody who's listening, you should surf on over to thegreatamericanmagiccompany.com. Check them out and just give them a try for the first time. Go ahead and purchase something because, again, the more you buy, the more you're going to be saving and earning points. Sounds like a great reward system there.
Well, thanks, Scott. And I know you're going to Vegas this week for some amazing interviews with some of the top performers in the world. And I'm very envious of you. And I look forward to hearing all those podcasts in the future.
Well, thank you, Eric. I'm looking forward to posting these here shortly. I know you guys are going to be amazed with some of the people that we talk to and some of the things that they share here online as well. So that was Eric Citron with TheGreatAmericanMagicCompany.com. And let's get back now to the rest of our scheduled podcast chat with David Hiram. Yeah. Funny thing, just this weekend, I mean, I always have a taped introduction, so I don't have to worry about that, because people say, well, I've, you know, here's the guy who's going to be introducing. Don't worry, I just have to hit the button, and it includes applause and everything when I come on. And but I didn't have that, because it was just a one-off thing. It was a suitcase show. And so I used to have that paper. I would hand somebody. In this case, I gave him my business card, had my name on it, and I just said, just remember that three-time winner of Houston's Magician of the Year and Super Bowl Magician. He said, okay, great. You stand over there, a lot like you were saying last night, whenever you have an introduction. And, of course, he's just starting to talk, and he says, well, this guy is a three-time winner of the Houston's Magician of the Year. And I'm kind of around the corner, and he can't see me. And he's Super Bowl Magician of the Year. And is he around here? Where is he, by the way? And I stuck my head around the corner. I mean, I was waiting. He was introducing me. I'm ready, you know. And so then he says, okay. And then he says, and here he is. And then he walked away from the podium, over to me, and said, what was your name again? And I started to say, it's on the card. You know, he's holding the card. It's like, my name's there, you know. But, yeah. So,
Well, let me look again and make sure. I think that my actual introduction that's printed out in big print, because the person's going to introduce me is always over 50, and so I want to make it comfortable for them. Know thy audience. Always know thy audience. In this case, I'm going to know the person that's going to introduce me. That's my audience. I'm going to create material that's going to be easy for them, that they can see without their glasses. And, you know, and I'll just say to you, the recorded introduction is fine for some things, but not for a corporate venue, not for a company thing, not for any of those things, because you want the president or the highest ranking person in the room to get the audience's attention and say, basically, what they're basically saying is, this guy's important to me, and I want him to be important to you.
Because they're used to listening to the boss. And so
that's right. Oh, and so they're, when he hands them off to you and you off to them, that is the power. The power is in that moment.
The handoff of power. That is.
That's right. Huh. And respect and all those things. Now, I'll tell you a little trick that I don't tell people.
Okay. But you can
tell. But I'm going to tell everyone
this
else.
This microphone, yeah.
So I have a written introduction. And when I get to the venue, I mean, I tell them ahead of time, hey, you know, because of course I'm going to call a day or two before, talk to the person that's hired me, and say this. I'm going to ask you that I want the highest ranking person in the room with your company, with your organization, to introduce me. Will you make sure that when I get there, when they arrive, that they, that I'm introduced to them? So when I get to the event, of course, I'm checking everything out. I'm testing my sound. And finally, the president comes in. I said, hey, it's good to meet you. I'm David. What did, you know, great to meet you. I'll small talk for a minute, meaningfully, and say, listen, I've got this written introduction. And I just want to let you know, it says right here, 10 minutes prior, 10 minutes before, and this is going to be what, after the desserts?
Right.
10 minutes before, you're going to say, we go to the microphone. Our program begins in 10 minutes. Restrooms can be found.
And you direct
them. And you make sure wherever they are. Mm-hmm. See you back in your seats in 10 minutes. Now, I know you may have an opening remark or two, but I want to make sure. Why is that? Because all these people have been at a cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. They've come in now. They've sat and chatted. They've now been drinking their iced tea and coffee.
Might have had dinner.
Have dinner. And now it's like, oh, I'm about, you know, and all of a sudden says, hey, everybody, it's time for the entertainment. Well, their eyes are turning yellow out there.
Right.
Let's be a good host. I know you want to be a good host, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm helping him.
Yes.
And I'm saying, so let's do that. Then it says next on this written introduction, 2 minutes prior, please check with me to make sure I'm ready. And 2 minutes before, you're going to say, okay, you about ready? Yeah, I'm going to go do my opening remarks. Okay, just so you know, Mr. President, I come from the back of the room. I won't be at the side of the stage. Just
so you
know
won't see me.
That I'm ready.
That's an important
point. Okay,
yep.
Just like you said.
Yeah, because
I'm ready.
Yeah,
right. At showtime. Now, the next thing on that piece of paper says showtime.
Yeah.
Ask people, Mr. President, ask people to turn their chairs towards the stage. So okay. Be at the microphone. And then it says what?
Wait silently for 20 seconds.
That's right. That's what it says. And I want to tell you why that's important. Because if you all turn your chairs, remember, at a dinner, it's all round tables. It always is. That means a third of the audience has their back to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to have them, hey, everybody, we've got the show, and now I want you to know Scott Wells is here, so everyone's Scott Wells. And it's like, oh, wait, now you're starting your opening, and you hear...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they don't want to do that either.
Right.
So half of them are turning their necks, and they're uncomfortable. What a bad host we are. We don't want that to happen. So ask people to turn their chairs towards the stage. If you continue talking, Mr. President, and while you're doing that, I want to let you know, they won't move them because they don't want to interrupt you.
Right.
Out of respect for you, they're not going to move their chairs. That's why I say, ask people to move
Wait
their chairs.
Wait 20 seconds.
Wait 20 seconds. Just stare at them. I said, you'll have a lot of fun. I promise you. Just stare at them and just smile.
Put your hands to the side.
And they're going to look at you, and then the light bulb comes on. And go, oh, he really means it. And they'll do it. Trust me. I did this 417 times last year.
Just last year alone.
Yeah. So I understand. I know this happens. And they go, like, you know what they say? That's going to be fun. They are smiling. And they like me even more
because
they see the value. They know I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And now when they hand me over, they really have the trust factor. And then they do their opening remarks. And as this says, they're going to introduce me. And I also tell them, please smile and with enthusiasm. That's all I ask. Just read it with smile and enthusiasm. It's important. It sets the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, you bet I can do that.
Because you hate those kind of introductions saying, hey, here's that trick guy. And yeah.
Our entertainer this evening, da, da, da. If you notice, too, our entertainer this evening, David Hira, and then it's phonetic there. I don't care if your name,
name is difficult to pronounce, make sure that it's phonetically spelled.
Exactly right. Blah, 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 blah. And then it also says, note, the last thing David do is a six-minute routine about blah, blah, blah.
Yes, whatever your last thing is.
When finished, come up to the mic and say another hand for David Hira.
So you've got that underlined and capitalized to make sure they know what to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
So make sure they have that with that. So when I'm done with that six-minute thing, just be ready to bolt up. You'll know when it's over. Just bolt up on stage, another hand. Why? Because I'm going to wave and go off, and I've now handed the audience back to somebody. Because there's nothing worse than you say, thank you very much, and you walk off the stage, and no one from the company was cued.
They know what to do.
They don't, or they didn't think to have someone there. Or they weren't watching for it.
Or he's still seated out in the audience.
And everyone's like, and it's the most uncomfortable moment in any after a show. You've just done a good job. Let's keep the momentum going. Help the host be a good host. Turn the audience over. And he says, let's have another hand for David Hira. And even he's doing it, and he's smiling, and they're nodding. And he'll say, wasn't that great? He'll say something personal. And maybe then it's like, gosh, I don't know what we're supposed to do now.
But it's up to him.
But now it's him doing it, not me going, is someone going to say something?
Yeah.
So all of this is gold, I think, and it's only because I've done this my whole life.
Well, it started off with something in which that there was a person of power who handed it off to you, and so people who they respect and they work with every day, they've looked at, and so now they've turned that to you, and then you have handed it back to that person of power, so that way that it started and begun with them, and they can take the applause also for booking you.
So let me ask you, how would you best like to get this into the hands of the people listening? If you get the Penguin Live lecture, you're going to get it. I think it's up there. If it's not there, I'm going to go to Penguin this afternoon. I'll have them upload this if mm-hmm. it's not already there. Do you have a website that they can go to
well,
get it?
Of course, it's called themagicwordpodcast.com, where they're listening to this podcast, and so we can actually have a
yeah,
link
so we'll
to the PDF.
So we'll upload that, and we'll
too.
Make sure that everyone gets that.
That'll be fantastic. That's
yeah, okay.
Great little offer. And so there, those are some great tips that you've given over there. In talking about social media then also, that do you use
Do I use Twitter? Do I use Facebook? Yeah, do I use YouTube? Absolutely. But I'm getting, as I told you last night, I'm getting rid of all three of those. I found an all-in-one program now that I'm switching to. It's called the YouTwitface. Yeah, it's right out of the show.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but...
That's a callback to the beginning of the podcast, I would say.
But it's a nice way to say, so, you know, that indirectly, if you haven't looked me up on there, please do join me on there.
Well, do you think it's important also then to have signs all over your stage and everything saying, you know, here's my Facebook page, here's my phone number, and here's
people aren't paying you to advertise to their audience.
The audience.
They find it insulting.
Uh-huh.
What they're going to do, most of them, when they book you, you're going to send them your promotional materials.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to write what they're going to put in the program for them.
That's a good idea.
You're going to write what they're going to put out ahead of time. You're going to send them a link, not to your website, but to your promo sizzle reel.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything but your name on it, not your .com. But people are smart. If they can see your name in print, they can find you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that to happen. But there's nothing worse than looking like you're wearing that NASCAR jacket with all your sponsorships all over it in front of the crew.
Yeah.
But having your name on your table mm-hmm. sounds like a kindergarten. But I shared the story last night, and it's true. I was the MC of a magic show. The Fort Worth Magicians Club used to put on a yearly magic show. Mm-hmm. We always had six magicians on there. My wife, who never goes to magic shows, decided this would be a good one. We invited two of our friends, couples. They saw the show, enjoyed it. I was the MC. After the show, I didn't see them, but 3 weeks later, I ran into one of the couples, and I said, hey, did you like the show? They said, we loved it. I said, what did you love? They said, oh, we love that guy who did the rings that linked together and unlinked, and at the end, he had that big mirror ball at the end, surprise finish. I said, oh, you mean Howard Hale? Yeah, yeah. We liked him. We liked the guy that did he had that little vase of water that he poured out, and that was empty, and then he went back to it, and he poured it out and said, the magic water of Zanzibar, and he did that. He said, that guy was hilarious. By the way, that was you, Scott.
Yeah.
I said, oh, you mean Scott Wells? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they said another. We loved Rick Walker. What do you mean you loved Rick Walker? We loved Rick Walker. And I thought, wait a minute. How come you just remember the guy with the linking rings and the ball, and you remember the guy with the wall, but you didn't remember his name? And I asked him, I said, how did you remember Rick Walker's name? And they thought, because his name was on his table for his whole act. I guess it just stuck with me.
Hmm.
Bingo. Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. Because otherwise, people say, please welcome Scott Wells. You do your fabulous show. That was Scott Wells. Well, they don't remember it.
Just like cruise ships. I have never yet had a person remember the name of any cruise ship magician. Say, oh, this guy was fantastic. Or he and his
But it's not our job. It's not our job to be remembered.
That's it. But the mystery is, you're supposed to remember the, so I guess I did my job. People remember the magic water of Zanzibar.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we're to be the star, and sometimes we're just to be representing the company and
that's
the
true.
Brand. And the, mm-hmm. You know, like a trade show. You never say your name.
What do you think about
show?
Cruise ships? I mean, as far as being remembered or not, do you think you should promote yourself and your name when you're on a cruise or not?
Well, they should remember your name. You know, on a cruise ship, they need to remember that the cruise ship hired a star for them. So it's okay. It's okay to remember your name. But to go up there and say, you know, hi, my name is scottwells.com. Don't forget scottwells.com. I'm dot, you know, and here's my sign.com and here's my, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
golly, I don't think so. I mean, but to say I'm Scott Wells and point to the sign and your name's on it, I like to have it on my table. I always stand to the left or the right of the table when I bring people up, especially. I position them to the left or right of that.
Make sure they're not blocking a sign.
Because guess what people can do now?
They take pictures.
They can
and
take pictures
on Facebook.
Yeah, and
or
boom,
Instagram.
There's the name. So it's memorable, but I'm not putting up banners saying, I work banquets and corporate events and bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Birthday party magicians do that all the time, and I just think it's as tacky as all get out. Well, you want to put that out in the lobby? You want to put that out by your sales table? That's fine.
When you're saying birthday parties, now, I don't do birthday parties, but I would think that that would be a perfect thing because there are so many children who are there already, and a lot of times that they'll have the parents who are there as well, and they might...
Did the mom pay you to put to advertise to all those kids, or did they hire you to be special?
No, but she is going to feel special when people ask her later, saying, hey, well, that was a great magician. Who was that guy? You know, they call him later.
That's right.
As a, you're saying that's better than having something else. Oh,
okay, so since I'm not in that market either, let me give you a couple tips with this.
Okay.
A magician up in New York who I was helpful to, he's a birthday party magician. He said, I'm going to do these banners. Oh, please don't. Well, he was just dead set on it.
Yeah.
He sent me the pictures of it. He had his picture at the top. Underneath his picture, it said, he does these events. And at the bottom, it said his phone number and his website.
It's a big business card. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, who is this for? Well, it's for the parents. I said, okay, where are the parents sitting? Well, at the back. Where are the kids sitting? On the floor. Okay.
Where's your information?
I can't find the answer to the question.
Where can
you? Yeah, I got Alexa over there answering your question.
Where can the parents see your phone number and your website? Well, it's on my banner. I'm asking you again. Where do the parents sit? At the back. Where do the kids sit? On the floor. Where is it on the banner? At the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Parents can't see it.
Right.
They can only see the back of all the kids' heads. It's at the bottom. They take pictures. They can't see it. Change that around. If you're dead set on it, you put your website at the top and your phone number. You have to see things through your audience's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Not in an empty room, but when the room is filled, what can they see? In your banquet show, what can they see?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be on a platform? Why do I require a platform with my magic shows? Well, wait a minute,
people
said the thing. I sat there in the front row, you know, and I could see fine. Yes, mm-hmm. You could, but people in the back, what can they see? My shoulders? My neck and my head. Mm-hmm. That's all they can see. Are they going to see the bowling ball appear? No. Are they going to see the table float? No. Only the front row is.
Right.
Can I do my act without a platform? Absolutely. But I can do it on the closet.
It's not
I can
for
do it in the
you.
Kitchen.
It's for the audience.
It's for their enjoyment. That's if you right. want to be a good host, you provide these things.
That's right. That's right. I'll go one step further to say for the music, being able to be heard. And this is something that the late Doug Carnegie had told me. If you can't see it, you can't hear it. So in other words,
perfect.
That if you have your speakers on the floor, mm-hmm. it's playing to their feet. But if it's up higher then and you can see the microphone, then you can hear the microphone.
The speaker has to be just above their head so that the sound goes all the way to the back and into people's ears. If it's mm-hmm. down any lower, the sound goes and is absorbed into the first two rows and doesn't reach any farther.
Right, right.
Which goes to my other point. You know, I always ask in my lecture, how many of you folks, before I start my lecture, how many of you folks have taken formal acting classes?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get a third of the room, sometimes you get three hands, but never any more.
Yeah.
A magician is an
actor
playing the part of
a magician.
Right. And you wonder, you don't take acting classes. You mm-hmm. haven't learned how to connect with people. You haven't learned how to build emotion and create and evoke it. That's what
right.
actors do.
Right.
And then you wonder why your magic tricks don't get the response of the guys, the big guys. What do you expect? It's like that ingredient. They left one ingredient. Why doesn't it taste the same?
Right.
The biggest ingredient is the showmanship and your acting ability.
Right. There was one more direction I want to go, but we'll start to wrap this up in just a few moments. But that has to do with keynote speaking. You were saying that you also do speaking in addition to doing magic, and I know you do. Do a couple of questions. I know that that's an area that a lot of magicians are thinking, well, that's another avenue or another stream of revenue that I can get into.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as easy as what you might think.
In fact,
it's more difficult than being a magician.
100%.
But one of my questions is, do you incorporate or use magic to make points when you are a keynote? Or do you just separate the two and you merely or just
sure I do. I don't recommend though that you advertise yourself as a magician that's a speaker.
Okay.
Get the word magic out of it
completely
and be a speaker who surprises mm-hmm. them by doing some magic, because it does diminish your value.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely diminishes your value, and I'm sorry to say it, but magicians, you know, they're kind of low on the totem pole mm-hmm. of respect. I mean, luckily for these shows of Penn and Teller's Fool Us and Masters of Illusion, America's Got Talent. It has been elevated some,
sure.
you know, to a degree, but people only bring their own experience into it. I'm not belittling magic, because I love magic, but in the corporate world, it's kind of a,
I know. That's again, goes back to where the people will say, well, my kids would love it, because I think it's a certain level of executive would feel as if it is childish.
Sure.
And they don't like to be – they feel like they're going to be made fun of, because, you know, the old line is it's fun to be fooled. No, it's not. It's more fun to be to know the secret. But it's not fun to be fooled. It's fun to be entertained and enjoy a mystery. You know? And there are some people, obviously, who don't like magic because they don't like to figure out the puzzle.
But whatever it is, I mean, they're not hiring you to do magic tricks. They're hiring you to get a message. So can I just do a blatant commercial?
Sure.
Please do. Talk about this ahead of time. But I just want to say this. For a lot of my friends listening to this, this is going to be kind of news.
Okay.
But kind of my news is that I think I'm at the top of my game. I think I'm at the top of my game and just kind of going over the hilltop now. Carol Fox was one of my favorite guys, and he and Ab Dixon were some of the guys that raised me in the business side of magic, and I was fortunate to do that. Carol always said to me, Davey. He always called me Davey. Davey? You can hear it. Davey?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to quit before I get too old. I'm going to quit before I decline. I'm going to quit before. And he always said that. It was really important to him, but he didn't do it.
No.
He sure didn't do it. And that last show of his, you know, it was just painful to watch those two people carry him out by his elbows and put him up on the, I'm nowhere near that. But
I remember seeing Slidini at the end also. It's like, I remember him when he was Slidini, not when he was in his aging process.
Right. And so, here's my deal. Because it's been a snowball effect for me, because I've been effective in my, how I
you have been
market and everything else. I'm not lying. I did 417 shows and all these states and a couple of countries. And you know what I've learned is I'm not 27 anymore, and that it's harder for me. It's harder for me physically
to carry stuff
and mentally just to keep up with it. You know, this week alone, it's two shows. Tomorrow, speaking gig and a show tomorrow night. Same thing.
Next you need to start learning some more mentalism, maybe.
Yeah.
Not carry crap.
So I've made a really hard, no, easy decision that in 18 months, basically from now, I'm divesting myself of 80% of my clients. I'm just divesting myself 85% of my clients. A little bit more. I'm keeping my very favorite speaking clients. I'm keeping my very favorite trade shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm keeping just a couple of my corporate magic clients.
Yeah.
For those of you who know me, you know that I've had a very, very long, wonderful career in lots of things because ADD is my friend.
Was it Toshiba?
Sharp Electronics. I helped build that company from $600 million to $4.5 billion. I've had a restaurant, a day spa, medical spa. I owned a bunch of jewelry stores, a software company, all these things. But my love and my real passion, and I've made a tremendous career out of magic.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say this. I'm not dying.
Good.
I'm not dying. But everything I wanted to say to magicians about magic, the things that if I could help someone that was 30 years old, 25 years old, to really become a magician, not just a guy that did tricks, I was fortunate enough to share that on that Penguin lecture. It's 4.5 hours. It's everything I ever wanted to say. Oh, I was saying earlier, with all due respect to last night, I did that so that I didn't have to go do
all these one-offs,
all these lectures, because I'm not a lecturer. I want to connect with people. But here's the way I can reach everybody. Secondly, the last 2 years, I have decided that I was going to share my entire business strategy, my entire business philosophies, and my system. I hate calling it a system, but it is.
Yeah.
And what I learned through all of these years is that there wasn't anything out there. There wasn't anything that really, there's marketing courses, there's all these things, but no one was teaching and showing and sharing what they really did to land, not customers, but clients. Mm-hmm. Big difference between a client relationship and being a customer.
True.
Someone who hires you, sell, you get the job once, and then you're done. They don't rehire you. They might. They say they are. My clients, I've never sold a magic show. Did you know that? I did 417 of them last year, but I've never sold a magic show.
What do you sell?
Well, that's my secret.
Oh, come on.
Because no one needs a magician, Scott.
Yeah, you sell yourself. I mean, don't you sell friendship?
No, absolutely not. No. Because I went back and
you have to know what it is they need.
I went back and I looked at it from my corporate experience and all my business experience. Yeah. Why do I hire people? How do I do it? Because I have a need. I have a problem. I have something, but I don't need a magician. Mm-hmm. No one needs a magician. And when people get it through the thick skulls that no one needs a magician,
right,
it changes the dynamic. It changes the relationship. And that's why my average customer, I mean this, my average customer has been with me, or client has been with me 17 years. Mm-hmm. I have four clients that have been with me over 30 years who still book me 4 to 5 events a year. Mm-hmm. That's a great relationship. So here's what I want to say, is that the last 2 years I decided to do private coaching. I developed a 2.5-3 day private coaching that gives everything I know and the system and all of my resources and all of my contracts and all of these things, like this introduction I shared with you,
yeah,
that was part of the coaching. And I shared it with very select, very few people that they had to meet my standards. And I charged a buku of money,
mm-hmm,
a lot.
Okay.
I'll just say it, a lot.
Yeah.
And I just decided I've got to, because I'm not going to be in this market much longer on a full-time basis. Mm-hmm. Remember what I said about Onassis, the secret?
Yeah, Aristotle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aristotle Onassis was to know something about business no one else knows. I've kept this very, very secret. But I've decided now it's time to let more people know about that.
Are you going to be teaching anyone who has the funds to do that? Or are you reaching out to certain people?
Saying, No. So here's what I'm doing. If you are a professional magician, you've actually been performing for pay for at least a couple of years,
and you want to take it to a higher level.
And I'm saying, I'm not going to vet you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be honest with yourself. Are you good enough? Are you good enough to really step it up and get the corporate, when I say corporate, company meetings, company events, the conventions for organizations. Are you good enough to be that guy? And do you want to not sell a magic show anymore, but develop clients who come to you for their events over and over and over again? Do you want to be in that high paid category? And, you know, just candidly, I am.
Yeah.
You know, don't know how to say this, because all I can say is do the math. Do the math.
At least it'll pay itself many times over.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, so these guys, so what I've decided is I've created a workshop. It's a small number of people. It's a group situation.
And you've done this already?
I haven't done the group one. I've done two guys at a time in my coaching here and there. I want you to know that it's rock solid. But I also said, people always say, well, can you help me with my act? The answer is I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a pretty good act. But in this market, I got to tweak it. I got to tweak it and tweak you to understand what you're getting into, how to get on, how to get off, and why the opening and why the closing, how I got to change that,
yeah,
to make them love you and want you back over and over again. So long story short is actupnow.com.
Actupnow.com, okay.
So I'm doing two this year, two seminars. They're a week long. You're going to spend half that time with me. You're going to spend half that time with my theatrical director, who has always directed me.
It'll be in Fort Worth?
It'll be in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Whatever. I mean,
by the way, almost anywhere, any place in the United States, you can get to Costa Rica quickly and cheaply. Almost anywhere. I just looked at Baltimore. It's $320 round trip.
Yeah.
Okay. From Houston, it's most of the time $270 round trip, $290 round trip. Once you spend that $290, once you hit that airport, you'll never spend another penny unless you want souvenirs. We'll pick you up in a shuttle. You'll come to this beautiful resort in this beautiful town. We will take you on a couple of field trips to some beautiful dinners in the most lush tropical place. You'll think you're almost in Hawaii.
That's
what it feels like. It's all inclusive, all included, and everything I've got, everything I know, everything, all the systems, all of it. I don't know why I'm doing that. And you'll get my...
You sure you're not dying?
I'm not. And my theatrical director will also take... You're going to send in... I mean, just so you know, you're going to send in a video of just your opening and your closing. That's it ahead of time, mm-hmm, so that he and I can go study it, and we're going to tweak it for this market. He's going to work with you, and we're going to take half the guys is going to be with me, half the guys is going to be with Mike. We're going to switch.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between, we got some crossover things. It's a beautiful experience. I will tell you that my private coaching people didn't get the theatrical side,
mm-hmm,
and they paid twice as much.
Hmm.
So actupnow.com. One is in June. One is in, I don't remember, September. I'll offer it twice again in the next year.
That'll be it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, I'm thinking that. But if you watch that Penguin lecture and you see everything I'm giving you in that, imagine. And by the way, and again, if you folks don't, I guess I already said it, my business background, my business chops are stronger than my magic chops.
Yeah, you were very successful.
Yes, you know, in your, and so I'm just saying it. So I'm going to take, and so you're, if you want to build, and these guys, there's a lot of guys who are the, are name brand guys who are saying, I don't know how, I don't know how to get these guys. They're coming. I also have a guest speaker coming that's going to be not who you think.
Okay.
And someone that you're going to say, holy crap, because guess what? It's not a magician. Not a magician.
It's a business person. Okay, well.
Bigger than that.
Yep, yeah.
Better than that.
Better than that. Okay.
Better than that. Okay, so actupnow.com. And so that's it. That's all. And I just want to say, you know, it says it on that website too, but my dad said, if you have, if you know something of value that can help another human being, you have a moral obligation to share it. I just don't, if it's free, you don't value it.
That's true.
But I've made it so inexpensive. So inexpensive when you consider everything's included.
In the long term, well, that's going to be getting back from this. And so,
and read the testimonials.
Yeah.
One of the guys lives right here in Houston. Another guy, they're all name brand people. When you decide to fill out the form to say, I'm interested, I want to, I will give you those people's full names. I just do it for their benefit. I don't put their full name.
Sure.
You'll get their full name, their address, their, I mean, their email address or phone number. You call them.
Ask
them. You call them and you tell them.
Yeah.
All of them will tell you, I made all of my much more I paid back within 3 months on top of what I was making. And they're going to do that for life. And they're going to build and build and build and build.
Because they know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so I'm not dying, but I want to say we all should help each other. You'll never get this training at any magic convention, any marketing course. You just won't, because no one had the experience I had to look at it from the inside.
Yeah.
To sit on the other side of the desk and say, how does money move? How do we make decisions? Who does that guy have to go to, and how does he have to present it? How does he? What does he have to do? Because he's not going to go and ask his boss for a magician.
Yeah.
Daddy, can I have a magician at my birthday party, my sales meeting?
Right.
He's going to feel like an idiot.
Right. Well, now that we're wrapping up, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, so you know that I'm going to be asking you, what is your word? What's your phrase? You have so many. As I said, you're posting all these great platitudes, and you're the man who knows the mottos. So what do you live by?
Yeah, I have eight that I live by, but the one I'll share today is, I said it earlier, know thy audience. Mm-hmm. Know thy audience, which means when I'm speaking to the guy to introduce them, I need to know who they are, what age they are, what capability they have. And so that's why I've created this the way I have. Mm-hmm. Look, my entire introduction is two sentences big. Mm-hmm. It's in 32-point font. When I go to the, before I can do a show for someone, I need to ask, who's there? What is their education level? Mm-hmm. You know, something. I need to know about what industry they're in.
Sure, so you can speak to them.
Right. You know, when I'm a speaker, for instance, or even as a magician, I'm not going to use Walmart stories if they're all CEOs.
Right.
But I'm not going to use Nordstrom stories if it's all $18,000 a year workers.
Right.
Same thing with my magic. I'm going to adjust my level.
You have to relate to your audience.
To be able to relate to them. When I market to them, when I talk to them on the phone, I got to know who I'm speaking to, where they're at, and put myself in their shoes. So know the audience.
That's great. Words of advice. Lots of words of advice. Go back and replay this podcast several times. Lots of gems in here. I can't believe that we had so much we talked about and just fit it in an hour or two. David, thank you very much for being one of my best friends.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for being one of my friends for so long. And I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. What you're doing is so stinking important. I told you before that when you started this podcast thing, I just kind of, I mean, really, I poo-pooed you. I'll tell you, behind your back, I actually made fun of you. I did. It's like, oh, yeah, there he is, Mr. Important with a microphone. You know, and I didn't get it. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I judged the whole thing, because now you've captured so many people that we've lost, so many people that aren't even able to speak anymore, and to have their legacy where I can go and hear their voice again, or just everyone has something to share. And thank you for capturing it. I what you're doing is so stinking important.
Well, you're welcome. There are so many people who obviously still are alive, but they have so many different approaches to the same problem. You know, we all are trying to create mystery and create friends and have our audience have the best experience. We have different ways of approaching that. And by someone listening to all these different podcasts and hearing your creativity and those of other people, they can take a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, and kind of be their own person, create their own show, their own act, and develop their own character and
personality. We are all an accumulation of all of those people
that poured
themselves into us.
That's right.
And all these people you've recorded are wanting to pour themselves into people. Thank God you have listeners and people that should. And by the way, listeners, please tell other people, encourage them to subscribe, and also to support. I'm a financial supporter of Magic Pod.
And I appreciate that.
Magic Word, too.
People who are friends of the Magic Word, who help this as an ongoing effort. Certainly, that's great.
Because this microphone I'm speaking to, I know wasn't cheap. I know this can be, all the things, all the tools that you need, much less the time to go and to travel and everything else. Thank you. And I want to support it because it benefits me.
That's great. And so, thank you very much. Mutual Admiration Society here. That was great. Well, thank you again very much, David. And so, for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out. Well, that was very enlightening and very entertaining and educational, at least for me. I hope that you guys all enjoyed that as well and got a lot out of it. I think what he has to offer that's going to be in Costa Rica here within the next year or so is just going to be phenomenal. I'm sure the secrets that you can learn will more than make your money back in a very short time, because I know how successful he is financially and everything else. I mean, in his life, if you follow him, he loves food. And I'm surprised that during this podcast, we actually didn't get into talking about food and posting some of the pictures and different places we've eaten, some of our favorite Epicurean delights and everything. But anyhow, I wanted to post this podcast a little bit early because I'd rather prepare this and get it going, because as you're listening to this, I am in Las Vegas and I am going to be interviewing and chatting with a lot of the local magicians out there. And so in the upcoming weeks that you will get to go on this little trip with me to Las Vegas to talk with some of the various magicians out there and kind of learn about their creativity, what's going on with their shows, some things that are happening on the Las Vegas scene, the evolution of magic since Siegfried and Roy. I've got some plans to speak with some people that you just won't believe. I'm excited that some of the people had contacted me and said that they are willing and open to give me a little bit of their time to speak on the podcast. So the coming weeks should be very exciting. You know, when I go to the Magic Castle and perform out there each year, I take some time and interview not only the people who are in and around the castle, the other knights of the castle, but also take about an hour or so with some of the people I know in and around L.A., the magicians like Johnny Gaughan and others, and do an exclusive podcast just with one person. And so I've never done that with Las Vegas, and I thought, gosh, there are hundreds of guys out there, and so it should be quite easy to find some people that would be interesting that you guys would like to hear. And that has been the case. I mean, my schedule is full, very full, with lots of people to talk with. And again, I want to thank all these guys in advance for opening their homes, their backstage, their dressing rooms, in different places where we've gone to chat and talk about different things. So again, stay tuned in future weeks and you'll be hearing what's going on out in Las Vegas. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and know thy audience. This is Scotty out.